Anakanapuna.
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 Oh.
That always cracks me up. This is the 11th show in our million year series to get to 20 shows. No, this is the post-Christmas show, post-New Year's show. This is the January 11th, 2007 show. Welcome to everybody. So, yes, welcome. And I hope everybody had a good New Year. And, well, I hope everybody's off to a good New Year. And all that, I'm messing around with the recording device here. It's been a while, so I'm not exactly sure if I remember how to use this thing properly. It has been a long time. Anyhow, like I said, everybody, I hope you had a good Christmas. This is Gabe's really big shoe, and I just happened to have the day off. Big stuff going on. We had family in for Christmas, and then the 31st, the christening, Haley's christening, and then the christening, and then New Year's Eve, obviously, but we had lots of family in from out of town, and that was really fun. It gets a little stressful after a while, but, you know, it was fun. Let's see. I got a bunch of graphic novels. Through the magic of audio, I just went and had a smoke, and I'm back in the same instant that I cut my last sentence off. But I just went, I went and got all the graphic novels that I got for Christmas so I could remember. And I also got the DC Comics Encyclopedia. So one of the things that I'll be doing on this little show is opening at random the DC Comics Encyclopedia and reading whatever's on that particular page. So that ought to be fun. It certainly is definitive, that's for sure. Characters in there that you never heard of, that I never heard of anyway. And I thought I knew a lot about the DC Universe. But mainly just about the main characters. But anyhow, I got, for graphic novels, well, I got a bunch of stuff. We got a video camera, which was nice, so I might go to a video cast here fairly soon. I don't know. I'll try and figure out how it all works. Got lots of books. Got a couple of Richard Matheson books. He's a horror writer. Wrote Hell House. A bunch of toys. Not toys, but just, you know, stuff like graphic novels and that kind of thing. Not actual toys. I got a watch. Got lots of stuff. Tons of stuff. The baby really got tons and tons of stuff, and that was helpful. But this show is about comics, so my graphic novels, I got Conan, The Chronicles of Conan, Volumes 5 and 6. Volume 5 being The Shadow and the Tomb and Other Stories. And Volume 6, The Curse of the Golden Skull. Haven't read them yet. I haven't read any of these yet, actually, because I've been reading the Richard Matheson novels that I got. But then I got Deathlok, four graphic novels, Deathlok, Jesus Saves, and the Brains of the Outfit, Riker's Island, and Damn If He Don't. I was always a big Deathlok fan when I was a kid. I always thought he looked cool. I got the Serenity, Those Left Behind, Joss Whedon graphic novel. I'm not usually a big sci-fi fan, but I'll give it a shot. I like him. My future brother-in-law got me Crossing Midnight number 1. These are not trades or graphic novels. Loveless number 1 by Brian Azzarello, and The Other Side number 1, and Dead Man number 1. All Vertigo. Pardon me. All Vertigo books. First issue, so that's pretty cool. I like that kind of stuff. And then Mandy got me a whole bunch. She got me the Conan stuff also, but Mandy also got me a whole bunch of Batman graphic novels, which is nice. Master of the Future, The Batman of Arkham. It's an Elseworlds tale. Well, they all are, apparently. Batman Man-Bat. Looks pretty cool. Batman Man-Bat again. What is it? Oh, book 2. Okay, book 1, book 2, book 3. Excellent. Batman Holy Terror, Bray Fogle and Alan Grant. Pretty cool. Batman Houdini, The Devil's Workshop. Gotham by Gaslight. I've heard lots about both of those last two. Castle of the Bat. I've heard lots about that also. I think my dad will like Castle of the Bat, Gotham by Gaslight, and the Houdini one, to tell you the truth. The Order of Beasts. All right. And there you have it. Lots of graphic novels. Lots of reading for me to do. Because I have basically given up on the monthly books. I go to the spoiler site that I've mentioned several times. Blogspot. I guess comicspoilers.blogspot.com. I just do a Google search for comic book spoilers. If that's not the right address there. But anyhow, I go there and I read up on what's going on in like 52. And which sounds like, you know, pretty good. The Marvel thing has got me going. Civil War has really got me interested in Marvel comics for the first time in a long time, but I just can't make it to the store every month, so I'm going to have to wait, 6 or 8 months or a year until the trade comes out on that, and I'll get that and I'll read it all up. But I'll be about a year behind everybody, apparently, as far as actual reading of the books. But, you know, it's still, I like the graphic novels because they look good on your shelf. Comics are, they're hard to, all those boxes are hard to have around. I'm down to about a box and a half now of comics, I guess, a long box and a half. I'd like to get rid of the long box, tell you the truth, and just have the half, but, you know, we'll see. So, New Year's Eve was pretty mellow. Like I said, we had people over and in for the christening. That was fun. And Manny and I went out to dinner, so that was fun. We were back at the house by 8:30 or 9. A couple of drinks, some champagne. Happy New Year, off to bed. The Eagles, doing pretty well. This Sunday, they play New Orleans. So let's go Eagles, even if you're not a fan. If you're a fan of the show, go green. We'll see. Against New Orleans, it should be a good game. The Giants game was good. They played the New York Giants, in case nobody out there cares. Or anybody out there cares, rather. Where are we at here? We're at about 8.5 minutes into show 11. And I didn't really have much to talk about because I didn't really prepare anything. I just like to get on here and ramble. I would like to say thank you. I got an email, and I've since deleted the email. Can't remember the person's name, but an email from somebody asking me where the show was, and I really appreciate it. So that was like a month ago, and I emailed that person back saying, "Oh, it'll be back. You've inspired me." And then I took another month, but here it is. It's show 11, and hopefully you people out there are DC Comics fans. We'll see. Well, we won't see. I don't know, but if you listen, you listen, and if you don't, you don't. What can I do about it? Nothing. But it's time to read from the book. The DC Comics Encyclopedia. The DC Comics Encyclopedia, the definitive guide to the characters of the DC Universe by DK Publishing. And we will open a page at random and right to the middle. Well, the Justice Society of America. I don't want to read the whole thing. I guess I could. They are the world's the best of the best. They are the world's first and greatest supergroup, formed at a time when metahumans were still a new concept and free people everywhere faced the threat of annihilation from Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. They have survived throughout the decades, waxing and waning in sync with the national character to reflect the public's love-hate relationship with its superheroes. Several of the founding members are active today, even as they enter their 90s, thanks to a time-slowing radiation bath received during an early case. Indeed. Living legends, they are the standard-bearers for all who followed in their footsteps. They are the Justice Society of America. The only hero team that Superman looks up to. Excellent. That's the first, that's the opening salvo. Society of America's page. They've got beautiful illustrations throughout this whole book. I recommend it. If you know, if you can get it as a gift like I did, that's even better. But because it's a, I don't know, don't know. I imagine it's like $60 or something. But, oh yeah, $40. That's not too bad. $40. Anyhow, back to the Justice Society of America. A world at war. Costume crime fighters started appearing in the late 1930s. However, it wasn't until 1940, November, that the numbers of these mystery men had grown to permit the formation of the JSA. Eight of the country's top heroes, Green Lantern, The Flash, The Spectre, Dr. Fate, The Sandman, The Atom, Hourman, and Hawkman, banded together to stop Hitler's invasion of Britain and to save President Roosevelt from Nazi assassins. They became a powerful force for good against the Axis powers. After Pearl Harbor, the U.S. government established the All-Star Squadron, bringing together every costumed hero. Well, there you have it. We'll go to their first appearance, All-Star Comics number 3, Winter 1940. Based New York City. Green Lantern wields solidified emerald energy generated by the Star Heart. The Flash, ability to run at super speeds and vibrate through objects. Wildcat, championship boxer with mystical 9 lives. Hawkman, wears wings and harness made of anti-gravity nth metal. Hawk Girl wears wings and harness made of anti-gravity nth metal. Sand can transform into sand-like form and travel along the Earth's fault lines. Mr. Terrific, too. He's the chairman. Olympic-level athlete and genius in every field of study. Well, that's handy. It's nice to be a genius in every field of study. Power Girl. Flight, super strength, enhanced speed, and invulnerability. Star Girl. Cosmic converter belt provides enhanced strength, agility, and ability to fire electric stars. Joaquin Thunder. Controls powerful fifth-dimensional genie. Captain Marvel. Mystically based powers of flight, super strength, enhanced speed, and boosted wisdom. Dr. Midnight, too. Can see in non-visible wavelengths of light. Hourman, too. Enhanced speed, strength, and agility provided for a one-hour window. Occasionally can see 1 hour into the future. And now back to the reading of the JSA from the DC Comics Encyclopedia. An ever-changing lineup. The JSA became one of the All-Star Squadron's active subgroups. During this time, the JSA also went by the alternate name of the Justice Battalion. Throughout the war, members came and went as they cycled through active, reserve, and honorary status. Prominent JSAers included Johnny Thunder, Dr. Midnight, Mr. Terrific, Hawk Girl, Starman, Miss America, and the time-traveling Hippolyta, the Golden Age Wonder Woman. No more heroes. The All-Star Squadron ceased to exist after VJ Day, but the JSA remained, battling major villains such as Vandal Savage and its villainous counterpart, the Injustice Society. However, now the war was over, public tolerance for superheroics was fading fast. In 1951, a joint Congressional Un-American Activities Committee accused the JSA of harboring communist sympathies and demanded that its members publicly unmask as a sign of their patriotism. They refused and regretfully retired the Justice Society. Decades passed. The flame of organized crime fighting kept alive through non-superpowered teams such as the Sea Devils and the Challengers of the Unknown. And lesser lights like the Justice Experience. The JSA still existed, however, occasionally reforming for special cases. The retirement of the JSA marked the end of the golden age of superheroes. Ragnarok. The JSA seemed to have met its final end when the Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, the Atom, Dr. Midnight, Hourman, Johnny Thunder, Starman, the Sandman, Wildcat, and Sand agreed to battle gods for all eternity in limbo to prevent Ragnarok, the end of the world. Luckily, eternity lasted only a couple of years, and the JSA soon returned. The crisis known as Zero Hour proved a deadlier threat. The villain Extant killed the Atom, Dr. Midnight, and Hourman, and Flash and Green Lantern declared an end to the JSA.
Well, there you have it. That's the end of the JSA.
But it isn't. There's a whole nother page. The Modern Era. The Dark Lord Mordru's murder of the Sandman triggered the current formation of the JSA, featuring old stalwarts The Flash, Green Lantern, Wildcat, Hawkman, and Sand, skilled veterans, Atom Smasher, and new faces, Mr. Terrific 2, Star Spangled Kid 2, plus reincarnated versions of Dr. Fate and Hawkgirl. This JSA's greatest challenge was the Darkness Crisis, in which Mordru, Obsidian, and Eclipso tried to plunge the world into eternal night. And that is not good.
The drawings in here, I mean, JSA is one of my favorite comics. But, it was when I was getting monthly books. I enjoy the lineup. I like the history of it.
Back to our story. Black Rain. The JSA's law and order approach to crime fighting is not universally revered. A vigilante team consisting of Black Atom, Eclipso, Northwind, Brainwave 2, and Atom Smasher recently took the law into their own hands. They spearheaded a violent coup in the terrorist nation of Kondok to put an end to their colleagues' meddling. In doing so, they exposed the villainous manipulations of the Venusian worm, Mr. Mind. Fighting the good fight. The Black Rain incident deeply affected the JSA, causing many of them to struggle with the concepts of righteousness and appropriate force. Captain Marvel used the aftermath as an opportunity to tender his resignation. The group is still vital, however, as shown by the observations of the time-traveling villain Per Degaton, who recently visited several key JSA members to tell them that he had witnessed their deaths in the far future. So ha ha ha. No, I added that last. Significantly, Degaton admitted that throughout all the future history, he was never able to defeat the JSA, and confided to Jay Garrick, the first Flash, that he died like a man in whatever fate yet awaits the Flash. Regardless of the predictions of would-be prognosticators, the multi-generational JSA will continue its fight against injustice and polish its reputation as the only superhero team that operates like an extended family. Key storylines would be the Last Days of the Justice Society special, 1986. The JSA battles in an eternal Ragnarok in what was intended to be the team's final adventure. Or Zero Hour, Crisis in Time, number 3, September 1994. Three of the JSA's oldest members perish in an issue that once again appeared to have killed off the team forever. Or JSA number 1, August of 1999. The JSA returns in triumphant form in the first issue of the Justice Be Done storyline. And I hope you have enjoyed this reading from the DC Comics Encyclopedia. The JSA, in this picture in here, features Green Lantern, Mr. Terrific 2, Dr. Midnight 2, Sand, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Atom Smasher, Dr. Fate, Stargirl, Black Canary 2, Flash 1, and Wildcat. Hawkman's physical and mental strength make him the backbone of the JSA. With a cry of for America and democracy, the JSA begins its adventures. Obsidian's filial anger toward his father, Green Lantern, provided an added edge to the battle in Darkness Falls. Those three things were the little captions from around the page. That being pages 164 and 165 of the DC Comics Encyclopedia, the definitive guide to the characters of the DC Universe, by Scott Beatty, Robert Greenberger, Phil Jimenez, and Dan Wallace. This tome is filled with beautiful artwork from all the years of the DC Universe, and it is 339 pages long. As far as the encyclopedia itself, it goes on to 349, 351 with the index and the acknowledgments and that kind of thing. But 339 pages of information. And that has been a reading from it. And the next time, we will read another one.
As a matter of fact, that was fun for me, so I'm going to open this randomly and read a second one. The rest of these, that was a double page thing, full on JLA or JSA, you know, thing. The rest of these have like 5 characters on a page, and I just happened to open it to Copperhead. So, first appearance, Brave and the Bold, number 78, issue, or June 1968. Status, villain, real name, unknown, occupation, assassin, base, mobile, height, 6'2", 190 pounds, green eyes, no hair. Special powers and ability, able to contort his body to squeeze through narrow openings, super strong, serpentine tail is prehensile, and can coil around objects or opponents. Secretes deadly venom, poisoning victims with just a touch. The criminal known only as Copperhead first appeared in Gotham City, where he used his bulletproof, slippery snake costume to commit a series of thefts before being apprehended by Batman and the first Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. Later, Copperhead turned to more deadly pursuits as a super assassin, constricting victims to a suffocating death with his snake-like tail. Although a master contortionist, Copperhead was powerless without his artificial snakeskin until he sold his soul to the demon Neron in exchange for superpowers. Neron mutated Copperhead into a true snake man, deadlier than ever before. In the past, Copperhead belonged to the Secret Society of Supervillains, and while serving consecutive terms in prison, was offered the chance to commute his sentence by joining the Suicide Squad. However, like most serpents, he prefers solitude and would rather slither solo. That's excellent. And that is Copperhead. So that was the JSA, Justice Society of America, and Copperhead, as read from, once again, the DC Comics Encyclopedia, the definitive guide to the characters of the DC Universe. And this has been, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm going to keep doing that, and that's probably just going to be my show, a little update in the beginning of what's going on, say hello to everybody, if there's any good books or anything that I'm reading, I'll mention that, and that kind of thing, any good shows I've seen or whatever. Speaking of that, my super ex-girlfriend, I saw that, and that on video, and then it was okay. It could have been a lot funnier. It was kind of dumb. But it was all right. I mean, there were some funny scenes, but I'm glad I didn't see it in the theater. But anyhow, back to the show. I will, I'll just read from the DC Comics Encyclopedia, because I think that's fun. So, and it's informative. I am doing just a little update. I'm doing a comic here. Well, I'll tell you about that the next time. So, I would like to thank everyone for listening, and it's about 25 minutes now, so thanks again for listening, and goodbye.